Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Victor Jones more about being a celebrity hairstylist, receiving an Emmy nomination for his work on Bessie, and much more. CAU's Department of Speech Communication and Theater Arts is presenting their version of For Colored Girls Who've Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough, and I have some of the cast in the studio to chat about the relevance and timing of this production. Upfront also visits the set of TV One's popular daytime talk show, Sister Circle Live, to chat with the co-host, Rashana Ali, Selena Johnson, Kiana Dancy, and Quad Webb Lunsford. The ladies open up about their unique sisterhood and much more. Upfront also celebrates Jazz Appreciation Month with music from Queen Latifah, Dave Koz, and Sergio Mendez featuring Will.i.am and Black Thought. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
WMW Film is looking for an African-American male between the ages of 25 to 35 with dark complexion for an upcoming project. The individual should have a low haircut or short afro. He must also be available to work on Friday, April 27th. If you fit the description, please submit a photo of your current look along with your name, age, height, weight, and sizes to wmw.mhc@gmail.com with young male in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, go to WCLK.com and watch the official trailer for Solo, A Star Wars Story, board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far away in this all-new adventure with the most beloved scoundrel in the galaxy. Through a series of daring escapades deep within a dark and dangerous criminal underworld, Han Solo befriends his mighty future co-pilot Chewbacca and meets the notorious gambler Lando Calrissian in a journey that will set the course of one of the Star Wars saga most unlikely heroes. Solo stars Alden Ehrenreich, Woody Harrelson, Emilia Clarke, Donald Glover, and Thandie Newton. It arrives in theaters on May 25th. Speaking of outer space, a TV series based on the 2016 hit film Hidden Figures may be in the works. Executive producers of the film are reportedly in the early stages of development. On a scripted drama with National Geographic, Hidden Figures starred Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, and Janelle Monáe as three women who broke racial boundaries as human computers at NASA. Go to WCLK.com for more details. That's this week's Casting Buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the 82nd Annual Atlanta Dogwood Festival, April the 13th through the 15th. This year's festival includes artist booths, live entertainment, a kids' village, and 5K run. The Backyard Bites and Brews is also back. Information and a full schedule of events is available at dogwood.org.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
In the street, but somebody almost walked off with all my stuff like a kleptomaniac. Working hard and forgetting while stealing.
I get you.
This is mine. This ain't your stuff. Now, won't you put me back and let me hang out my own self?
That was the voice of Alfre Woodard in the now classic television version of Ntozake Shange's original stage play For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. CAU's Department of Speech Communication and Theater Arts is currently doing their own version of the iconic choreo poem, and Upfront caught up with a few of the show's cast members, Carrie Garrett and Kiara Jones. They're also joined by the show's director, Professor Jonathan Kitt, who decided to do the production because of its timely message.
Well, guys, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Hey,
amazing. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Let's get started with some introductions off to my right here.
Hey, I'm Professor Jonathan Kitt.
Hey, I'm Carrie Garrett.
Hello, I'm Kiara Jones.
All right, so we're talking to the amazing cast of Four Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough by Intozake Shange. Am I saying
yes.
that right?
Correct.
Yay! Yep. You guys are killing it.
Yes. We've yep. had great reaction to the show. Mm-hmm. Everybody has loved it thus far.
Okay. Let's start with you, Professor Kitts. Why this show right now? Because this is, you know, it's an iconic show, but it's a very deep show. So why did you decide to do that right now?
Well, it's interesting. With me, I pretty much take everything off of my students. Usually I have them in class. We have discussions about different things. They perform different monologues and different scenes or what have you. And when I see whatever's going on in the community, in their community, I go, okay, this is what's needed. And or we should go in this direction, you know. And what I noticed was a lot of the young ladies, first of all, here at Clark, we're probably, 70% women, maybe 30% men. So it's a lot of women here. And then you have Spelman right across the street as well. But what I noticed from a lot of my students, they were into spoken word, you know, heavily. They were into doing it not only here, but at Spelman in different places. But they didn't really know of Intozake's work. So that coupled with different situations of different incidents that would happen over at Spelman, maybe even some here with young ladies. It was kind of, okay, let's take a look at this show and explore what Intozake was exploring when she originally wrote this thing, almost 40 years ago, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, ladies, had you all heard of this show before?
Yes.
Yes, I've definitely heard of For Colored Girls because the head over at Spelman, Akuka Dogo, she was actually the original lady in yellow.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she shared the work with me as well as, of course, people are usually exposed to For Colored Girls because of the Tyler Perry movie.
Right.
But the play is a little bit better.
And a lot of it.
Yes. I actually had read it in high school before I got to college. So
okay. Now let's talk about your characters because you mentioned Lady in Yellow. So who are you playing, Carrie?
I'm playing Lady in Purple, and I'm also the choreographer for the show as well.
Okay. And Kiara?
I'm Lady in Green.
Yeah. Wow. How do you channel those characters? And tell our audience, for those that may have never, you got to be living under a rock to not know these characters. Let's talk a little bit about your characters.
So just for Colored Girls, it's all about the colored woman. Mm-hmm. So even though we have specific colors, we're not channeling just a certain person. This is experiences that all women go through, whether it's sexual harassment, rape, but it also hits on sisterhood, empowerment. Mm-hmm. And that's why this show is so important for right now, because the topics resonate with the community that we're in with the AUC.
Mm-hmm.
So with my lady, Lady in Purple, she mostly focuses on forgiveness within love and her relationships. So that character just resonated with me so well because I'm always about forgiveness, finding that breakthrough point to find the love beneath the pain.
For me, with Lady in Green, she has the monologue, "Somebody almost walked off all of my stuff." that monologue can be a little sassy. You know, she's like, "No, you're not going to come over here and think you're going to take all of me." So for me, it was really hard to channel it at first. But then I had to realize I'm literally around men boys at college who think that they can just do whatever they want to us. So some people might be like, "Oh, you're too young to understand." But like, no, these men on this campus are dogs, just like their grandpas and daddies were. So that's my experience.
What has been the response? Because like you said, this is written 40 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. you guys weren't even a thought. So what have been the response from your peers?
I mean, that's what makes this piece timeless, mm-hmm. because the topics still resonate today. I mean, it's sad that we still have to talk about rape and sexual harassment and mm-hmm. things like that, but these things are still happening. I mean, it's even prominent, you can see, with just the Me Too movement. These things are still happening, and we're on a college campus, so it's occurring, and it's something that needs to be discussed.
And even the We Know What You Did movement that happened at Spelman a few months ago.
Yep.
Yes.
What was that?
Yeah, and that's what kind of piqued my interest as well.
Okay.
When I kept hearing things, because you know, as a an instructor here, you know, students come talk to you. And I would hear about different things that would happen not only here, but over at Spelman. And what was the name of that movie?
We Know What You Did. One morning, everyone got up going to class, and there was different names of men at Morehouse, and even some in Clark, who had sexually assaulted a woman.
Oh, wow.
And, like, what their status were on campus, because it is, like, a lot of sexual, like, a lot of rapists on campuses are SGA presidents or are people that are on SGA or athletes, and no one can do anything to them because they're needed for the school.
Yeah.
So a lot of those names were people that were, that had high stature on campus.
And that's often what happens in these situations, is men who are in a position of power feel like they can abuse and use their power to take over women. And so that's what we're basically talking, and we're taking a stand as women right now. It's a pivotal time for us because we're able to get our point across, finally be heard in a place when we really weren't before. The show is giving us a platform for our issues.
And, you know, and also I like to say, like, you know, as an artist and as a, you know, a straight black man, that a lot of things that, because what people would hear, like, you're doing for colored girls? Why? You know, like, you know, different friends of mine in the business or whatever. And I would tell them that, well, first of all, you all know me. It's not only going to be about, you know, it's not male bashing. Mm-hmm. It's not just the bad man. It's also the wrestling with the culpability of women in certain situations, in some of these stories, this poetry that we're delivering. Also, it's it deals with vulnerability. Like she said, it deals with sisterhood. It deals with love. It deals with hope. It deals with tomorrow. All the whole, the metaphor of the rainbow, that's what it is. It's everything. So young men enjoy the show as well, because I always go, hey, it can't be one note. It can't be one layer, one level. And it's not one answer or one thing. There's two sides to every story. You understand? So we did a lot of talking and research and whatnot, and I think they're doing an amazing job. They're both fabulous. Everyone, all seven.
You mentioned that you're also the choreographer for the show. So how were you able to I guess come up with dance moves or
the choreography for the show? So for me, it was really the music, and the music helped me out a lot. When it comes to music, we just kind of have a love language, I guess, music is for me. So I just listen to a song and I meditate on it. Usually it shows me what I need to do. I can just close my eyes and I see the movement, or I can hear it within the beats or the lyricism as well. So that's basically how I was able to figure out the movements that I wanted to do for the piece. And then also I could take from the stories, from the monologues before, and as well as source material.
It was interesting too. I mean, and for me, I grew up in a very musical household, and music to me is like part of our soul as a people. Even the music that's very prevalent today, which might have destructive lyrics in it, we're bobbing and moving and bouncing to it because of that innate thing that's kind of entwined with our melanin. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can see a little 2-year-old kid just, you know, jamming already on beat in our culture. With me, I like to use music in whatever it is I create. And with for this particular piece, being that it's a choreo poem, you know, it's not just a play, you know, choreo. So I knew it had to have a lot of choreography. I knew I had to open it up and have numbers in it. It couldn't just be a bunch of women standing up there talking.
Right.
And if you go on YouTube, sometimes that's what you can see. And it looks horrible. It looks boring. No one wants to see it.
Yeah.
So you have to open it up and make it more, you know, give it more of a, I guess you would say, spectacle to a degree, you know, a more artistic kind of movement. And they all end up, even though it's seven women, they're one.
Yeah, and it's really an ode to the original work because it is a choreo poem, and a lot of people forget that the choreo aspect of it. So I love that he was able to bring that back and bring it back to life.
And I knew Carrie. Once again, like I said, I get everything from the students. I had her in class. I saw her as an actress. I saw her move, and I said, "Huh, Carrie is a dancer as well. I wonder if she can do this." Okay, yeah, she can do. Okay, yeah, she could do. She could do this, you know. And I told her, I said, "Hey, I'm about to do for Colored Girls. I want you to choreograph it." So then I couldn't have her be the choreographer and not give her opportunity to be in it. You know what I mean? So it was like, okay, well, come with your monologue, come with the audition, you're pretty much set, you know. And we sat down and we went through the you know, I found the music that I want to use. Some of it is already in the play, you know, maybe a few numbers, maybe mm-hmm. about a good four or something. And then, you know, we just had to add to it. We just had to add mm-hmm. to it and just open it up.
So we have two more shows, tonight and Sunday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is over at Davidge Auditorium.
Yes.
All right. Where can they get information about this production?
Ooh.
All of the information is on the Instagram page, the department's Instagram page, CAU Speech Theater. That's T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
R-E, okay.
And also on the Facebook page, CAU Speech Theater.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. We're talking to the cast of For Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. Gotcha. Yeah. That was Carrie Garrett, as well as Kiara Jones and Professor Jonathan Kitts. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, thank you so very much. Have a good one.
The WCLK Jazz Calendar is made possible by support from the Sweet Food Lounge. UNAM featuring Jeff Morrell is performing at the Sweet Food Lounge on Thursday, April 19th. Emmanuel Chop Smith is performing at Friday Jazz at the High on April 20th, hosted by Jamal Ahmed. Vocalist Renee Marie takes the stage at Georgia State's Rialto Center for the Arts on Friday, April 20th. Larry Harlow's Latin Legend Band with Oscar Hernandez are performing at the Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State on Saturday, April 28th. And finally, Avery Sunshine, Layla Hathaway, Robert Glasper, and more are performing at the 2018 St. Lucia Jazz Festival, May 6th through the 13th. Also, WCLK's Jamal Ahmed will be hosting the Soul of Jazz from the festival. Information on travel packages are available at LT Travel Connection at 770-323-7118. That's today's Jazz Calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Reva Blue.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karuchi Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Yes, y'all. 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 Freak, freak, y'all. Freak, y'all. Freak, y'all. Freak, y'all. Freak, y'all. Freak, y'all. To the beat, y'all. Beat, y'all. Beat, y'all. Beat, y'all. Beat, y'all. And you don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. And you don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. And you don't. Yeah. You don't. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. And you don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. And you don't stop.
Upfront hit the streets this week and stop by TV1's new daytime talk show, Sister Circle Live. It airs each day at 12 p.m. and is hosted by my next guest, Rashana Ali, Selena Johnson, Kiana Dancy, and Quad Webb Lunsford. The ladies were super excited to chat about the success of the show and making strides as an all-African-American-led program. Here's what Selena Johnson and Rashana Ali told me about representing Black women at such a pivotal moment in our nation's history.
It feels purposeful. That's a word?
Yes.
Okay, good. It feels purposeful. It feels powerful. And on time. Yes. And I, well, not I. Well, can I say we? Do you guys? Or are we all doing? Okay. We feel like, since we are the first all Black female talk show host cast created, we feel that we have an agenda. We have an agenda to motivate, inspire, educate, as well as entertain.
Yes.
So purposeful and powerful.
And we feel responsible. We feel like we have to be very responsible with the platform and very intentional, great word, because God gave us this opportunity. This is not about us. When we understand that it's not about us, therein lies your truth and your success. Because there's some girl, I always say this, in Arkansas, in North Dakota, somebody is watching and seeing how you move. And when they watch you and see how you move responsibly, they can then make those decisions for themselves. Like, wow.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Yeah, we are examples, and we are examples of real, everyday women. That's what I love about us. I love the fact that, you know, we can just be who we are and say what we think. It's not all, we can be polished or whatever, but it doesn't have to be. We're your everyday homegirl sitting at a desk, interviewing guests and speaking our truth. That's what we are.
Kiana Dancy is best known to the audience as a successful stand-up comedian and raves about how it has prepared her for co-hosting the show.
My career as a stand-up comedian prepared me for this, is to always be ready. Because when you're standing on the stage and you're saying something to whoever in the audience, when you're speaking to the audience, they may not like what you say. You have to be willing to walk that plank alone sometimes, because even with my girlfriends, my sisters right here, sometimes I might say something, they be like, Kiana, like, you know, they may feel like I went too far, or maybe they can relate or can't relate. But at the end of the day, once I say it out my mouth, I have to own it. And then that is definitely something that in this industry as a stand-up comedian, you have to either love, you know that you said it, so you need to own it. It's prepped me for just kind of be witty and sharp, and again, always stay ready.
Before co-hosting Sister Circle Live, Quad Webb Lunsford enjoyed success on Bravo's popular reality series, Married to Medicine, and talked about transitioning from a reality star to a media star.
It feels great. It feels like I'm walking in my purpose. It's amazing. It's a really good feeling. I've always enjoyed meeting new people, learning about them. I have a natural knack for people, so it's very natural for me. It's a natural progression.
Ms. Quad also informed me that Sister Circle Live is looking to expand their reach and would love to take the show on the road.
Well, it's really funny that you asked that, because we were in an interview earlier and they asked us what was our vision for Sister Circle in the future. And that was definitely one of the things that I noted. I would like to see Sister Circle on a larger platform. I would like to see it global. I also would like to see us go on a tour and take this to as many cities as possible. I know that we're currently working on trying to close some things with Essence Festival, which will be huge for us. And we really want to have the opportunity to touch our fans, our supporters, our viewers. And I think that's going to be symbolic for all of us and for the show as a whole.
Thank you, ladies, for taking time out of your busy schedule. Sister Circle Live airs at 12 p.m. weekdays on TV One.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Alliance Theater, presenting 2 one-act plays by Atlanta playwright and book author Pearl Clegg. These plays follow Jenny Anderson at 2 points in her life as she deals with unresolved questions from her past and understanding for the future. Playing now through April 15th at the Southwest Arts Center. Information is available at alliancetheater.org/Pearl.
Hey, yo, peace world. It's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
I'm a goner till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live, live till I die. They're gonna say, what a gal. I'm gonna play for the sky. I'm gonna live, live, live till I die. The blues I'll lay low, I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel, but until then, hallelujah.
You just heard the voice of Grammy Award-winning singer and actress Queen Latifah performing I'm Gonna Live Till I Die. She is just one of the many famous faces my last guest, Victor Jones Moore, has worked with throughout his career as a celebrity hairstylist. Jones was responsible for many of her looks in the award-winning HBO drama, Bessie, and received an Emmy Award nomination. He is currently working on the set of OWN's hit series, Greenleaf, and stopped by to chat about his career and what lies ahead.
Victor Jones Moore, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
It's so good to be here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So I got to say, this is a, I don't know, I guess I can call it a God moment, because...
You can say that.
Yeah.
I think all moments are God moments, right?
But what's weird is that we were neighbors for like how long?
Oh my God, three years? I lived in that, and that was a condo building, right?
And had no idea that you were this amazing... celebrity hairstylist. Yeah. You had no idea that I was this blogger and now no radio clue. Host. Yeah.
I always knew you was doing something important though. Yeah. You had a mean walk across the courtyard like I am headed for like destiny and don't get in my way. I'm making it happen. And I was like, if I walked a little faster, I might be a little more successful like this guy.
Yeah, everybody picks at my walk. But let's talk about you. You're an amazing celebrity hairstylist here, right here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You're currently working on Greenleaf. You took some time away from the set to join us today. But how did you get started? How did all this come about for you?
Literally, speaking of Anthony, one of my great friends who's a great costume designer and fashion designer.
We're talking about Anthony Williams from
Anthony L. Williams,
Project
Anthony
Runway
L.
All-Stars.
From Project Runway, the winner.
Yeah.
My best friend. He knew someone. He knew I was a hairstylist. He had started coming to me, and he knew what I wanted to do, and he knew someone that was in the industry. And he was like, "I'll try to get you on or whatever, but it's so hard to penetrate." And one thing led to another. Someone called out of work, and there was a busy day. And someone called Anthony and said, "Hey, you know somebody that's great?" He was like, "Oh, I surely do."
Yeah.
and I went that morning. I got the phone call, went that morning, got a call sheet. Had no clue what a call sheet was. It looked like Spanish to me. But I showed up to be like, great.
And
like chase my destiny. And I was nervous, but I was like going to dive right into it. And hey, the rest is history, as they say. I've been like work and study like ever since. So that's an incredible blessing. It doesn't happen that way for everyone.
Yeah. Was that always the end goal, that you wanted to somehow work on television and movie sets?
Yes. The end goal was, well, that was the beginning goal, I would say, because I've always been in theater and I was always attracted to that part of things. And I remember like going to a doctor's office and like looking through magazines with my grandmother and I'm like, oh, that's fashion and that's television. And I want to do that. So it's always been in my mind ever since I was like young. So yeah, it was definitely the beginning to the end goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that thing I wanted to do.
Now you've been doing hair, if I remember from your bio, over a decade now.
Yeah.
And you were actually one of the youngest stylist to be on the Georgia Board of
Cosmetology.
Yeah,
that was exciting to be like, to have that introduction and that invite to come in and, hey, come in and let's see what you can contribute to education when it comes to what people are doing now in the industry. And I was like, why me? But I had been working with product lines across the continental United States and up and down the East Coast, but I didn't know that my name was floating around like that. And I just happened to get a call out of the blue. And I was like, okay, let's see what can I contribute to cosmetology. So that was a huge honor to be one of the youngest and African-American to sit on that board. It was amazing.
Let's talk about, because you actually was nominated for an Emmy for the work
HBO
that you did
Bessie.
On Bessie. Yeah. So what was that experience like?
Oh my God, probably the best experience. It was like the best and worst experience of my life because I lost some relationships during that time because this industry takes so much of your time and it takes someone, it takes a support system. It's hard to kind of do by yourself. So that part out of my personal kind of was affected by a project like this because it takes so much of your time. But it was film school 101 when it comes to like period hairstyles. There were specific hairstyle, let's say the finger wave, for example. By 1930, the finger wave looked completely different from how it did in 1940. So it changes just like hairstyle do now by shapes and sizes and slants and directions. So to learn all of those things and to have to come in there and see what people was looking like what women were looking like back then. And there's not a lot of pictures of our people and what we look like day to day and then church. Like you'll have some families that will have these formal pictures, but it's not a lot of references to pull from. So you kind of have to get creative and make sure you're like really in the zone of what you're doing. Bessie was amazing. Queen Latifah was amazing on that project. She did an awesome job. She's very focused. A lot of people don't know she went through color changing, which was kind of nerve-wracking for her because it could have
Now, what's color changing for those?
Color changing, for people who don't know, if you are playing a certain character and that character just happened to be a darker color than you, okay. You have to alter the skin some. There's a way to do this without being insulting about it, because you don't want the person looking like they're in blackface, you know, at the end of the day. So to color change someone, you have to add a corrective color underneath the makeup. So you don't know, you have to go by that person's tone. So you have the person you're trying to get to, and you have the person that you're working with and you're coming from. So that person has like a green-based tone or a red-based tone. So you have to color correct them every day. Like you have to spray them one color underneath and then paint another color of makeup on top of them and keep that person from like sweating and all this makeup running off of them while you're filming a movie in the summertime in Georgia in juke joints. Yeah. And there's a lot of performances and a lot of dancing. So yeah, that can be challenging in itself. But she did not complain, not one day. And we had a great time. Beautiful costumes, beautiful music, beautiful history. This big loving family. We were all a family on that project and kind of huddled together and got each other through it. Yeah. I was so excited about that film, though.
Real quick, what's next for you?
Next for me coming out or next that I'm walking into?
I know right now you're currently on the set of Greenleaf. But what's next after Greenleaf?
After Greenleaf, there's two things that are in the works. I've been with the Vampire Diary chain for quite some time. Very blessed to have the opportunity to be with that franchise. I was on this show called The Original. So the final season of The Original will be coming out April 18th at 9 o'clock on CW. I'm so excited about that, to come into a show like that and be on it for so many seasons and then have an opportunity to do the finale of the show, come in and change those characters all together, and now watch it play out. Like, that's kind of like been like my life for the last 4 years. Wow. So to see the finale of that is going to be bittersweet, but I'm so excited that it's coming out. I'm so excited for the support of those fans, and I have an opportunity to close that franchise out and give them some type of closure. Our fans are diehard fan. But we may have a sweet treat for them. We have something that's in the works. It's a spinoff from that. It has not been confirmed yet. We don't even have a name for it. But we've done some things towards it, and it's looking pretty exciting. And it came out in the Hollywood Reporter that we are working on something like that. So to get the ball rolling on that would be exciting, to pick up from that franchise and now turn it into a trilogy. That's exciting. But my most exciting thing that is coming out that is very passionate to me is my project with Gugu McBeth Raw. It's called Fast Colors. It's from the producers of La La Land and Miss Stevens. It's a husband and wife team, Julia and Jordan. If you remember from the Academy Award where the producer Jordan Horsewood had to give up the Oscar to Moonlight.
Right.
Okay. That guy who was holding it and said, I did not win. My friends from Moonlight won.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to work with, like, got a phone call through Gugu, thank God, from working with a project with her recently. She was like, what are you doing next? Because you're my curl whisperer.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I became the curl whisperer. So I still carry that title to this day. Thank you.
Right.
So I went with her on this project. We filmed it in New Mexico. Beautiful project. It's about, without giving away too much, is black superheroes again. Sci-fi thriller. So it's a lot of things tied up into once, but it's not your typical superhero movie. We just had the world premiere at Southwest Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. So the world has gotten to see the premiere, whoever went to that film festival, but it has not been like released to like international markets yet. So when that comes out, and I think this is really going to be a great, great project for her. It stars Lorraine Toussaint and Sanaa Sidney. If you remember from Fences, Sanaa Sidney was the little girl.
Little girl, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
At the end, Little Dog Blue, singing about the Little Dog Blue. Yeah. So yeah, she's in it as well.
Okay.
So it's an ensemble cast of those three women. So it's like black women power now, you know. Black Panther was more like, I don't know, Black Panther still had black women power in there as well.
But it was all about T'Challa.
Yeah, come on. Okay, really, right?
Yeah.
It was all about Chadwick. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. Everybody wanted to see him, so I'm excited about that.
Well, Victor Jones-Moore, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. You're always welcome to come back.
Thank you.
And much success to you in the rest of the year as well as in 2019.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, the cast of CAU's For Colored Girls, the co-hosts of TV1's Sister Circle Live, and celebrity hairstylist Victor Jones Moore. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, April 21st, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.